extra notes, raise your hand. The ushers will get you one. Happy Father's Day to all of our fathers. What an awesome day. Speaking of Father's Day, I heard about these three sons going to visit their elderly father. He was a widow, but he lived on this farm that he grew up on, and he was living there by himself, taking care of the farm. The three boys had moved away, and they had agreed to come and visit him on Father's Day. They met at the airport, and they're driving out to the farm to see him, and they're talking, and they say, "Well, they were trying to outdo each other, see who could get the best Father's Day gift." And then one of them says, "Well, what'd you get?" And the first one says, "Well, you know, he's been driving that old pickup for the last 40 years. Said I bought him a brand new Mercedes. He's going to love it." So, "Woo, boy, that's amazing." He said, "What about you?" The second one, he says, "Well, you know, there's no cable out there." He said, "I bought a 72-inch high-definition TV and a satellite system. He'll be able to watch any channel in the world. He's gonna love that." They said, "Ooh, that's amazing." They said, "What about the third son?" He says, "Well, you know how he's losing his eyesight, and he loves to read the Bible, and he keeps getting the bigger and bigger print. He says, I found this parrot that was trained by monks. It took him 20 years. He can quote the entire Bible. All you got to do is tell him a chapter and he'll recite. He's going to love that." So they get to the house. They wish him Happy Father's Day. They say, "Well, how did you like our gifts?" The father says, "Well, you know, that car you sent me," he said, it uses a lot of gas. I scratched it going in and out of the barn." He says, "I really appreciate the offer." He said, "But I'd just soon keep my truck." He said, "If you don't mind, you could just take that back with you." He said, "What about the TV?" He says, "Oh," he said, "that was nice, that big old TV and that satellite system." He said, "But I turned it on one day." He said, "You wouldn't believe what I saw on that thing." He says, "I threw a milk bottle at it and broke it." He said, "I don't want to watch that thing." He says, "I thank you for the gift." He said, "But just soon you just take it back." And the third one says, "Well, what about my gift?" He said, "Now that was a gift." He said, "That was the best gift I ever received." He said, "That little chicken was delicious." So last week we talked about, we're on a series of the book of Galatians and breaking it down. And last week was chapter 4, and we talked about being sons. And that's what is the theme of chapter 4. Now next week we're going to pick up with chapter 5 of Galatians, and then the next week, chapter 6, we're going to finish that series. This week I'm kind of departing from the chapter by chapter and kind of shooting off of last week's, this concept of sonship, and bringing it into our discussion of fathers. Now, last week we talked about connected with being sons is the concept of being heirs. As Christian, we're heirs of the Father. What an amazing concept. So I'd like to continue with that. And today I want to give, the title of my message is Advice to Fathers. Now, next week, Rebecca and I will have been married 30 years. Can you believe that? Isn't that amazing? I know she doesn't even look 30 years old, but it's true. We have a document to prove that, 30 years. And actually, we're going to go on vacation. We do every year for our anniversary. So we'll be gone for about 10 days vacationing and having a good time. And I just feel so happy to know that we have such an awesome pastoral staff that I know that y'all are in great hands and you'll be taken care of. It's just great to know that we can go away and, you know, have great man and the whole church. You guys are just awesome. But I've been a father for 29 years, almost 29 years in December, and we have two wonderful daughters, and I have some pictures to prove it. I just love old pictures here. The first one that we have here is, look at those three outfits. That's Christina on the left and Rachel on the right. Aren't they cute? And they look so cute, and it's amazing how they dress alike all the time. I don't know how that ever happened, but they used to get these outfits that looked the same, and they matched Minnie Mouse. Isn't that wonderful? And then the next picture is the three of us, and look at the happy faces. And what's the next picture there? That's all four of us with Chief the Wonder Horse and Sheba, our amazing Great Dane. Look at the four of us. So that's proof. Just that picture is 15 years old. Do you believe that? Time flies. Being a father and raising children. Can all the fathers and mothers relate to how quickly it just, you know, you look back at those pictures, it's like, oh my goodness, you know. And you can see they got their good looks from me. because Rebecca still has hers. But I have some advice to fathers today, and no, I'm not an expert father, but I did stay in a Holiday Inn Express last night. So fathers are so important to society, aren't they? I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on that because I think you all would agree with me. I want to go on to, you know, points, to advice to fathers. But we understand the concept of fatherhood is so vital. And so we can see it's so important that when it's not working properly, society sees the results of the non-operation of fathers or fathers not being what they're supposed to be. You might want to change that slide because everybody's still looking at... I don't know if they're looking at the Wonder Horse or Sheba, but I can't get anybody's attention. Everybody's looking at the family concept that God, this is God's idea. The Godhead is a family. Jesus came into the world, you know, born of a woman, of a mother, and he was raised in a family. You were born into a family, right? When the disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray, he didn't say, here's how you pray, our creator. Now, isn't he your creator? Yeah. That's not the way he wanted them to relate to God. He didn't say, our God. Isn't he God? Yeah, but he didn't. That's not what he said. He didn't say, our healer. Isn't he our healer? Yeah. Isn't he our provider? Isn't he wisdom? Isn't he? He's a lot of things, but one word he chose to start this prayer off, the Lord's Prayer, that if anybody knows a prayer, they know this prayer, our Father. That's the concept that God wants. He doesn't want to be an austere God, just power, our power. You know, he wants to relate to us as a father. Fathers are important. Knowing God as a father is so important. He can't just be your religion. He has to be your father. There has to be a relationship. Our Father. Christianity is all about being children of God the Father. It takes a family. I know some people, somebody wrote a book, it takes a village. No, well, there's truth, some truth to the importance of community, but that's not what it takes. It takes a family. Children aren't born by a village. A village doesn't produce. A family relationship produces a child. And I just want to say to the fathers here today, you're awesome. You say, how do you know that? I know that because you're here today. That tells me something very important about you. You're setting a precedent for your family. You're setting a bar for your family. The fact that you're here today, you say, you don't know my flaws. I'm not talking about, no, you're not perfect. But the fact that you're in church today with your family and week by week, that is very significant. And that is a very important factor in your family of being a father who leads by example and says, God is important in our life. I was raised, you know my testimony, in a church that didn't lead me to a relationship with Christ. But I knew my dad was not going to miss church on Sunday. We were going with him. I think that was a very important part of my upbringing that had a big impact on my morals. It had a big impact on my decision. It was instrumental in me coming to Christ later on in life was my dad set the bar, set the standard. We're going to church. People didn't talk him in. My mother didn't beg him or force him to go to church. He set the bar. I knew we're going to church on Sunday. That was in my dad's heart. I don't care if we're on vacation. We went to church on Sunday. He always went to church on Sunday. So fathers, I know something about you today just by the fact that you're in here. You're a long ways down the road. You may feel inadequate at times in your ability to be a father. You may feel like you need prayer. You need help. And we all do. And that's a good feeling of inadequacy to say to God, I need help. But I just want to tell you, I'm so proud of you that you are the man of the house that has set the standard, that you come to church and you bring your family to church. I'm very proud of you. Can we give our dads a hand? Yeah. If you're here today, you're an exceptional father. At the end of the service, we got a little something special for you. But as a father, nobody really knows the burden that a father has, the burden that a father carries. It's something that God's put on the inside of fathers. God's put different desires and traits within mothers, you know, that maternal instinct. But God has put within a father that desire to protect his family. And he carries the burden of a family. And you need support and you need strength. Fathers in our land need strength. It is a burden. You don't really realize it. I recognized it the day that Christina got married. Christina and AJ are here today. God bless you. Love you. And, you know, they're living in Jacksonville. But, you know, I didn't realize the day she got married at the wedding, I remember at the reception, and it was like, I've passed the mantle onto somebody else. I didn't realize how that you, as a father, you feel not only for your wife. Obviously, the moment you get married, you feel this responsibility to take care of this other person. When you raise children, you feel, there's a burden that comes naturally from God. And I felt that like a mantle being passed over to AJ. It was kind of like, okay, that's what the Bible says. For this reason, a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave, and the two shall become one flesh. And it's like the mantle has passed. Now she's AJ's problem. AJ's got to, you know. AJ's got to wake her up in the morning and get her to school and get her to work, and, you know, get her dressed, whatever. There is, and you know, sometimes we don't realize and we don't identify. You don't even think about the fact that you carry your children in your heart, the burden, you know, and you still always, they're always your child, and you would always put your life on the line for your children, no matter, even after they're married. You know, they still... You would do it. You would step in front of a bullet or a train or whatever to preserve their life. But you realize that there is a mantle that goes with being a father, that's as they grow and as they get married, they move on. And parenting can be very difficult. Even the mothers can identify with that, huh? Probably, I think God, you know, the way he designed us on this planet, I just believe that Earth is a test. Life is a test to see if we'll trust and obey God. That's what I believe. And that everything, there's lots of challenges in life that test us to see if we'll trust God and if we'll obey God. And to me, marriage is one of the most challenging adventures, marriage. Two people trying to become one, it just chafes against all your selfishness and all your pride and all the things, you know. And that's something that God uses to perfect us. And then children, parenting. Marriage is a challenge for each individual to try to, you know, coexist and live and you know, cooperate with this other person. But then the two parents together have this challenge of raising your children. You know, let's just be honest. Every one of us, because of the curse on the planet, has a desire to rebel, has a desire to do their own thing, has a question authority and challenge. And we have selfish desires, you know. Even though a child is born with an inherent selfishness. And the parent's job then is to raise them in a loving way without killing them. That's probably the big challenge. Parenting is not easy. And so I think I have a little video that I want to show you that illustrates what I'm talking about. A woman talking about the challenge of being a parent. Maybe you can identify with this. Let's go ahead and roll that video.
All three of my kids are mad at me right now for like completely different, unrelated reasons. All three are mad at me right now. For those of you who struggle with math, that means that 100% of my children are angry with me right now. And you know what? I don't care. I don't care. You know why? Because I am not their buddy. I am their parent. They are angry at me because I parented them.
Come on.
My number one job as their parent is to love them. And loving them does not mean making sure they're always happy and get every single little thing they want. Loving them means raising them into healthy, decent human beings who I would actually want to hang out with someday. That's what loving them means. Until my kids are adults, I am not their friend. We are not on the same level. I'm the authority. My child's well-being is more important to me than my child's opinion of me. My job is not to be liked by my kid, and I don't take it personally when my kid doesn't like me. And honestly, if my kids like me 100% of the time, I'm probably failing at parenting. So listen, parents, I know this parenting thing is really, 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 really hard. I know. And I know you're trying to do the right thing, and you're trying to be strict when it's necessary, and then your child gets upset at you, and then you give in. Don't do that. Don't give in. Hold your ground. And I hear some of you parents say things like, oh, my little kid is my best friend. That sounds really cute and all, but let's just be honest. If you're like 30, 40 something, and your best friend is an 8-year-old, like that's just weird. That's weird. Don't be so insecure and desperate for your kid to always like you. Parent your child and then find friends your own age. Now here's the good news. If you're trying to do the right thing and parent your children, them not liking you is not terminal. It's not gonna last forever. You know what's terminal? Them turning into entitled, bratty adults the rest of the world now has to deal with. That's terminal. But them not liking you, that's not gonna last forever. And I have some more good news. At least one brand of ice cream at your grocery store right now is on sale. So go get it.
Come on now. How many know what she's talking about there? And don't forget, one brand of ice cream is on sale. That's the Cure ice cream. I showed that to Pastor Mike. We were getting it ready. He said, I didn't know you could pour wine in ice cream. I said, ice cream goes with everything. Parenting is not easy. So here's my advice to fathers on Father's Day. 5 things I'd like to tell you about parenting. My number one advice is don't kill them. Don't worry. That's the first thing I'd like to tell you. Psalm 37 was written by a man named David who became King David. And if you've ever followed the life of David, he had a lot to worry about. He had a lot of things that went wrong. God prophesied great things, and then the next, 15, 18 years, it didn't look good at all. And he wrote many of these psalms through the toughest times, people trying to kill him, friends betraying him. Turning on him, he wrote this, and he said this, do not fret. Do not fret. And if there's anything I could tell you as a parent, because you have that as a father, and you have that burden on you for your family, start with this, don't worry. Do not fret because of evildoers. Now, if you read the papers and watch the news, you recognize there's a lot of evil going on the planet, and your first tendency would be to fret. To worry. And I tell you, later on, we're not going to read the verse, but in Psalm 37, it says, do not fret, it leads only to evil doing. When you start worrying and you feed worry and you keep worry going on around in your head, it gets bigger and bigger and you make really stinking decisions. You really do. You make bad decisions. Worry will not lead you in the right direction. As a father and as a parent, you have to hate worry. Do not fret because of evildoers. Don't be envious toward wrongdoers. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret, he says it again. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Well, you know, that guy seems to be prospering. He's not doing it God's way. Maybe I know. No, don't worry about it. You just follow the word, follow God, hang out with God's people, put God first. Don't worry about what other people do. Just follow God. Do not fret because of somebody that does it their way. Cease from anger. It can make you angry. And a lot of it has to do, you don't feed your anger. Don't feed on evil. I know we want to stay abreast of the times and know what's going on. But there's a difference between finding out what's going on and just being consumed with evil. There's always been evil on the planet, folks. Hello? Yeah. As long as there's been people, when there was just a few people, Cain killed Abel. There's mean people, and all they needed was a rock. Society has advanced. It's hearts that are the problem, and hearts have always been the problem. But don't feed your fear. Don't stay consumed with the evil that's on the planet. Think about God. Think about the goodness of God. Think about the mercy of God. It all depends on what you focus on. Don't fret. Don't worry. And don't be consumed. Don't feed your anger. Hey, listen, I'll be honest with you. I don't listen to talk radio anymore because it makes me angry, because it's true. But I don't need to feed on that. I don't need to feed on that because I end up doing dumb things. It makes me so. I need to focus on what's good on the planet, which is God redeeming people. The church is reaching people, touching people. I want to be consumed with the good stuff on the planet that God's doing. There will always be evil on the planet. Be aware of it, but focus on what's right and what's good. Don't feed your anger. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. And then he says it again. 3 times right here. Do not fret. If you read the whole the whole chapter, he keeps on saying it. Do not fret. Oh, I did put it in there. Do not fret. What happens? It leads only to evil doing. That's what happens. If you allow and you feed, you'll end up doing dumb things. Really dumb things. Double dumb. Dumb squared. Dumb things. You'll make a wrong decision. Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 6. If David's not enough, let's follow into the New Testament. Jesus, the Son of God, here's what he said in Matthew chapter 6. So, don't worry. Come on, Jesus, are you aware of what I'm going through? Yeah, he knows exactly what we're going through. And he says, do not worry. You have to fight worry. Jesus didn't come to remove all the things that make us worry. He came to strengthen you that although all those things are still there, you have the strength on the inside of you, the ability to withstand the temptations and deny the opportunity to worry. I found out it's simply a decision. Just saying, you know what? I'm not going to worry about it. Yeah. It may sound simple, but it is. And it works. Do not worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Those are pretty basic needs. I mean, he's not talking about, don't worry about whether you're going to have that big mansion or whether you're going to, buy the Ferrari. He's talking about, don't worry about what to eat. What? If I'm on the verge of not knowing what to eat, I'm not supposed to worry about that. I'm not supposed to worry about if I have any water. And if I'm not supposed to worry, I don't even have any clothes to wear. What he's saying is, no matter how bad it gets, you don't have to worry. That's pretty strong. And that's what he's saying. And why is he saying that? He's going to go on. For the pagans run after these things, but you, your heavenly what? Yeah. See, Father, we're good fathers because we have a great Father. We have a Father that's going to take care of us. And we don't have to worry. And we are trusting. We're teaching our children. I'm not worried no matter what life throws at me, no matter what our family goes through. I've chosen not to worry because you know what? God's got it all under control. We have to model that. We have to teach that. Fathers, if I can give you any advice, don't worry. Let that be a model, an example to your children. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But, that's a big but. There's some big buts in the Bible. But, seek first. I'm glad you're here today. Huh? What does that tell me? You put God first at the first of your week. Put him first in your finances. When you get paid, first give pay to God. Put God first in your day. Get up and talk to God. Put God first when there's a crisis in your family. Let's pray first. Let's talk to God first. But seek first. First is important. Order is important. Don't just seek God when it's the last resort. Not even the second. First. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry. Even Jesus repeated himself here. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Number two, that was the first thing. Don't worry. Number two, if I can give you some advice. Fathers, I want to give you some advice. Number two, trust God. So the first one is what not to do. And the second one is what to do. Trust. This is how you not worry. Well, if I'm not going to worry, what am I going to do? Trust God. You know what? There's so much in life that's totally out of control. Can you just believe that? Can you just accept that? And, it's foolish to think that you can control everything. You can't. It's beyond your control. And our Heavenly Father says, leave it. I got it. I remember it was about 15 years ago, a guy in our church came to me. And he had come through a lot in his life. He had lived a life far from God. And he got saved and turned his life around and really was serving God. God gave him a beautiful wife, and then they had a child. And at this point, he came to me, and his son was in first grade, just going into school. And he says, "You got to pray for me." He says, "I'm a wreck." He says, "I'm about to lose my business. I'm about to lose my mind." I said, "What's going on?" He says, "I love my son so much, and what I see what God's done for me, this family." And he says, "But I can't sleep at night worrying. I'm so worried." He gets on the bus to go to school. "I'm worried." He's with other kids. "I'm worried. There's diseases. There's stuff. The planet. The things that I read in the paper." He says, "I'm consumed with fear." He says, "I haven't slept in weeks. I can't sleep at night. All I do is lay there and worry." That's what it'll come to. And thank God we talked about just some very simple things about putting God first in the first day and praying and reading. And this man totally conquered fear. And I just saw he put a post on Facebook the other day, and his son is grown, maybe about 20 years old, and doing fine. See, he didn't have to worry, but the worry probably would have killed him, and the child would have grown up without a father. You know, worry will kill you. He had to come to a place to trust God. God gave him this child, then trust him back. Give your children back to God. He had to give him, trust God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. So he's just trying to figure it out with his mind. How am I going to protect him? How am I going to say, no. You can't be there 24/7. Even if you were, there's things that you can't stop. You have to trust God in all your ways. Acknowledge him and he'll make your path straight. And then Jesus said it this way, John 14. Do not let your heart be troubled. There it is again. That's that fear thing again. Don't let it. Don't let your heart be troubled. And what's the solution? Believe in God. Believe also in me. Believe in God. Just trust God. Is that so hard for us? Just trust God. Trust. You're going to make it. Trust God. Believe in God. Jesus talking to us, said, you know, you believe in God, believe also in me. And this is very interesting, the path that he takes, the discourse that he makes right here as he shifts gears. And look what he says. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. You changed the subject. No, he didn't. He didn't. What he's saying is life is not about this life. We lose perspective. We think this is all. He says, in my Father's house, there's many mansions, there's many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It's all connected. Why did he say that after don't worry, believe in God, believe also in me, and then he put it, eternal, God's got everything under control. This is not everything. Life is not about this life. It's about the mansion in heaven. It's about the next step. That's why he connected to, that's why you don't have to worry. There's something bigger than this world. Fathers, let's put life in perspective. When you think about the needs of your children, put it in perspective. There is an eternal perspective. They need to know God. Trust him. Number three, my third point of advice to fathers is this. Dwell in the secret place. And this is how you accomplish those first two. That father that I was talking to you about, as I got into his life, and he was so busy with work and children and the family and soccer and this and that, God was not in first place in his life. And we had to establish, I said, it's very simple. When you get up in the morning, spend 15 minutes before you go rushing off, taking care of your business, doing all this stuff, taking kids to school and this and that. Spend some time with God. And that's what changed it for him. Yeah. Fathers, you have to have a secret place. You have to have a place where you go and meet God every day. Amen. Every day. It takes priority. Find a place where you can meet God. Get alone with God every day. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the what? Secret place. He who dwells in the secret place. I'm glad you're here today. This is not the secret place. This is encouraging you to get in the secret place. You know, there's a lot of aspects to the kingdom of God. But it boils down to having a secret place. Now look what it says about the person who has the secret place. He who dwells in the secret place, not him who walked an aisle one time, prayed a prayer, has got a Christian, cross on their car, bumper sticker, and Christian pajamas. It's he who dwells in the secret place. He who dwells in the secret place. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You want to be under the shadow of the Almighty? There's a lot of evil out there. You can be under the wing, under the shadow, the protection of God. I will say to the Lord, who's going to say it? The guy that has the secret place. I'll say to the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Yeah, he's going to do it. To who? The one who has the secret place. Got to get in the secret place. And then that covering extends wherever you go. It's the third point of advice I really feel is very, very important. Father, do you have a secret place? Maybe it's taking a stretch in you right there just talking about that. Listen, I believe it's worth it. I believe it's worth your investment to have a time and a place where you go and you're alone and you seek God by yourself. You can't protect your family by yourself. You can't be strong enough, wise enough. You can't have enough money. You need God's help, and you get it in the secret place. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. He'll do it. He'll bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Number four, fourth piece of advice I have for fathers today is number four, have some fun, man. Have some fun. Have fun. I believe you're the chief fun officer of your family, the CFO. The fathers, you're the chief fun officer. It's not enough just to have rules and regulations. You have to have some fun. And here's some scriptures. Here's two kind of what not to do. Colossians 3, fathers, don't embitter your children or they'll be discouraged. Ephesians 6, don't exasperate your children. Fathers, don't exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So your next fill in the blank is this. Rules are necessary, right? But here's the axiom that goes along with that. Rules without relationship lead to rebellion. Nothing wrong with rules, but rules without a relationship will lead to rebellion. Always, there has to be a relationship. Even with God, if God's just a set of rules, you're going to find a way around them. If God's your best friend, he lives on the inside of you, you're dependent upon him and you talk to him all the time, rules are easy. It's the same thing in the home. Fathers, you cannot just be the disciplinarian. You have to be the CFO. You have to be the chief fun officer. And sometimes there's little times where, okay, we're not having fun because y'all messed up. But you got to work it into your schedule. You got to work it into your week. I remember, you know, at a time when I was working on staff at a church and I had Mondays off, Saturday and Sunday were probably the two busiest days. And we were praying about, you know, putting the girls in public school. Well, you know, the public school is Monday through Friday. And I said, I got one day off Monday. I want to do fun stuff. We're going to do fun stuff. And we made a decision. We would homeschool. So we had that. And we always went someplace. Like that picture at Disney was on a Monday. We went and nobody's there, see? So it worked out pretty good. But in your schedule and in the fabric of your life, you have to figure out as a father, how are you going to bring fun into your home? Do fun stuff, do fun things, go fun places. And then the rules will be palatable. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Christianity doesn't have to be sad sack religion. It's not really what it's all about. You can have fun with your kids on a regular basis. You can have rules, you can have chores, but have a balance. So, and this again is where the fathers set the bar in every area of the family. Did you know that? Spiritually, it's going to be hard to overcome the father setting a low bar. Emotionally, attitude, the fun factor. You know, life is short, eternity is long. We have to prepare our children for eternity and life. And you know, from what I read in the Bible, eternity is going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. It is. So I know we have a lot of challenges in this life, but let's add the fun factor. I mean, from what I see in heaven, it's going to be a blast. So let's bring that into, you know, let's start having fun now. Number five, my fifth piece of advice for fathers is this, and this is very important, and you just take those first four and look at this one and apply it to this and all other areas. You have to be consistent. That's a very important piece of advice. Fathers, mothers, employers, be consistent. Don't be that person that is totally unpredictable. Don't be, what kind of mood is dad in today? I wonder, this is the effect that I've seen over years of counseling families, you know, that maybe the father has an alcohol problem. And the big problem is he's totally unpredictable, whether he's been drinking or not. We don't know. Which dad do we have today? The drunk dad or the sober dad? The dad that's on drugs, is he on drugs today or not? Is he the high dad or the low dad? Is he the mean dad or the happy dad? Is he the depressed dad or, you know, he's got it together today? And I would say that all of us have struggles as it relates to your children. Do your darndest to be consistent. if you're questioning some things, be sure that it's not being fake, it's not being phony, it's not destroying your children with every little thought that goes through your head. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ and pass on to your children confidence in God, confidence in life. Don't be up and down. Don't be depressed one day, negative one day, positive, negative, positive, negative, positive. No, be positive. You say, are you sure? Yeah, I'm positive. You need to be positive. You need to, because God is, you look at the Bible, God's very positive. That's what hope is. Have hope. Portray hope. You may be going through the most difficult time in your life. My dad, he had an eighth grade education. He started his own business. There was many times where it looked like we were going to fail, and I would look at his face, and all I would see was confidence. I'd ask him, I'd say, Dad, aren't you worried? Here's what he used to say, why worry when you can pray? That was his answer all the time. We never knew. There was many times that it looked like we weren't going to make it this week. This was the end. But I could look at, that gave me confidence as a child. I wouldn't see him worrying. I wouldn't see him sweating. He's just like, well, we're going to make it. And we made it. Somehow we made it. Maybe it was because he just had that attitude. Why worry when you can pray? He just had confidence. Fathers, we have to portray that. God's going to get us through this thing. Yes. Don't worry about what it looks like. We're going to make it. Maybe we need to make some changes. Maybe we need to make some adjustments. We're going to pray. We're going to ask God. Maybe we missed it. Let's be honest. Maybe we missed it. Maybe we made a bad decision. But you know what? God's bigger than my bad decision. He's going to get us through this thing. If you have confidence with God, portray that to your kids will live that way the rest of their life. Have confidence in God that they're going to make it. And you know, we have it written on the back of the church. We have it on the van. And I say it every Sunday. God is good some of the time. Is that what I say? God's good about half of the time. You just never know. God's good most of the time. Wouldn't that be good? God's good, you know, 99% of the time. No, we say God is good what? All the time. So if our Heavenly Father is, he's very consistent. That's a lesson for us. Look at this, Hebrews chapter 13, 8 and 9. Jesus Christ, he goes up and down, man. He's happy one day, he's not happy. You know, we never can predict what he does. That's not what it says. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be consistent, dads. Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings. Don't jump after every little thing and we're this week and we're that next week. No, stay steady. Hold the course. Be consistent. That's what fathers do. They just plow a straight line. And that's very important to your children to see that you're very consistent. Be consistent. Don't be unpredictable. Up and down. Dependability. Children need to see stability, dependability, and to be consistent. So I'm going to review. I gave you five things. Very simple. I think you guys are awesome. We all could improve, right? We all could work on ourselves, do better. So five things that I asked you to do is my advice to you. Number one is don't worry. That's tough. I'll admit it. But I've also found it can be done. It's simply a decision. You just make it, you know, it's, hey, I'm not going to worry. And how do you not worry? I'm trusting God. Number two, trust God. Has he come through for you in the past? Huh? Has he let you down? Trust God. Trust God. Number two. Number three, you got to have a secret place. You got to have a time. And I think you need to do it every day. If mornings is bad for you, fine. Do it in the afternoon. Do it at night. But do it every day. Be consistent. What's the best time for you? Fine. Find your best time. It's just 3 a.m. I know somebody gets up at 3 a.m. because that's what they like. Whatever works for you. But find a time and find a place to dwell in the secret place. Number four, have fun. Come on. Add fun to your family. And number five, be consistent with these first four things. Be consistent. Did anybody get anything out of this today? I believe if you do that, and you keep coming to church every Sunday, you'll be one of the best dads in the whole planet. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in church. We thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you for your word that gives us instruction. I am so thankful for the dads that we have in this room. I'm thankful for the great dads that I've had in my life to watch, to see. I'm thankful for my dad. He wasn't perfect, but Lord, I'm so thankful. Great attitude that he had, for the attributes, for the character, how strong he was in so many ways. I'm thankful, Lord. I'm thankful for the dads that I've had in my life in Christianity that I've been able to look at and say, wow, look at that. I'm thankful, Lord, for the dads in our room today. We're not perfect. Not one of us is perfect. We make mistakes regularly. But we're here and we're seeking your advice. We're seeking your help. And I pray for every father right now for a fresh anointing. Lord, not to look back at the mistakes of the past and the places that we failed, but to look forward with hope and expectancy. Say, I'm getting better every day. God's for me and not against me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Lord, I pray for every dad in this room right now for a new anointing and a new strength to be consistent, to be strong. I break the power of the enemy of discouragement off of every dad now in Jesus' name. Get off of the fathers in this room. Worry, get out of this room right now. Fear, get out of this room. The idea you gotta work so hard because you're so afraid, I break it now in Jesus' name. That there's just a time of having fun with their family. I pray for the dads in this room right now. Add to them what they need, Lord God. Take away the fear and add peace and hope and joy and strength into their life right now. In Jesus' name, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I got a very important question for you today, and that is this. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You might be here today, say, I don't know. I think so. I hope so. I am not sure. That's a pretty important consequence to not be sure about. You say, yeah, but does anybody know? Yeah, the Bible says, I've written these things to you, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. You need to know that you have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? Here's what Jesus said. He said, you got to be born again. That simply means there comes a time in your life when you, by an act of your will, give your life to God and you trust him with your whole life. If you've never done that or you're not sure if you've ever done that, that's why you're here today. In just a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. But you might be here today and you say, Pastor, I did that in the past, but today I'm not where I need to be and I want to get back on track with God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If either one of those two apply to you, slip up your hand real quick. I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Right where you're seated, pray this prayer with me. Everybody help them out. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come and live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day and forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. Meant business with God. Listen, if you prayed that for the